It's a privilege and an honor to present to you our first speaker, future priest Deacon Tuwakia. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, there's many things that are occurring in this world today due to man's sins and the things that they have done because they have broken Yahweh's laws. And if you in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Yahweh tells us that if we break his laws, then there will be curses. And he gives a list of things that will occur if we break Yahweh's laws. Now, I'm going to be talking about one of those things that will occur, and it is occurring right now because of man's sins, and that is drought. Now, if you have your book of Yahweh, if you can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 50, it's on page 617. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38. It says, a drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up. So notice that, a drought. Behold, it is a land of God's Elohim, and they are made fools by their gods Elohim. Okay, so because they broke Yahweh's laws, okay, because they did these things, this is their consequence. This is if you remember in Proverbs, it says, a curse causes will not come. Now, one of the largest aquifers in the world is drying up right now because of man's sins. It provides 8.3 million people with water. Okay, so that's 8.3 million people. It's 174,000 square miles. Okay, so this is a huge aquifer. And it's drying up. And these things are going to continually get worse until mankind repents and converts. As it says in Acts 3:19. If we can turn there to Acts 3:19. This is on page 842. It says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. So we have to repent and be converted. So we have to change our ways and then stick to that. So that's the way that we'll receive that our sins will be blotted out. The firmament is messed up because of what is occurring, because of the things that man is doing. If you can turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and look at verse 15, this is on page 169. It says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh your father and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. And then he gives pretty much the rest of the chapter is the curses that will come. And no, it's not because there's no cause. There's a cause behind the curse. Remember that. It's not just Yahweh's not just sending curses on us because he wants to. No, there's a reason. A curse causes will not come, as it says in Proverbs. Now here's some statistics about water. 1 in 6 people live without clean water, sufficient water needs. Lack of water causes 1.5 million deaths a year. 1.5 million deaths a year. And 2.5 billion people live without basic needs of water. So these are big numbers. These are in the millions and billions. Okay, so, or millions. So these things are because, as I said, because of man's sins. So do we want to take part of that? Do we want to take part of destroying the earth? No. And no, we don't. So that's why we're here at the house of Yahweh right now. Remember in Deuteronomy 12:5, it says to seek the house of Yahweh. And that's what we've all done. And that's why we're here today. So seek Yahweh and his righteousness, as it says in Matthias 6:33, and all these things will be added to you. So, and no, in verse, if you have your book of Yahweh and chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, if you look at verse 1, it says, and it will be if you listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your father, by observing and doing all his laws which I command you this day, that Yahweh your father will set you high above the nations as his kings and priests. So we'll be blessed if we keep Yahweh's laws. And that's one thing that we need to remember. We will be blessed if we keep Yahweh's laws. So stand strong, because the end zone is here. It's right around the corner. So stand strong, be courageous, because our time is drawing near. And with that, if y'all please stand. If you can turn, I'll turn. It's a privilege to turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov for prayer.
Great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom.
Please be seated. May Yahweh indeed bless your understanding today. We've got some great stuff lined up for you. I want to ask you to please listen carefully. There's some things being brought out today that are very important to your salvation, to your well-being. And it's going to be in bits and pieces. So please be sure to take notes and listen with an open mind and an open heart to these things. We're going to start off with the missionary team. And if we could, let's go ahead and show the disc one, please.
Have a Christian medal. We would like to thank Peaceful Solutions of Laredo for coming by and talking about several topics that tie in with the home and the school environment, about discipline, self-respect, how to address bullying issues that is one of the main factors that are affecting our students.
concept of Peaceful Solutions, putting the strategies in our students' hands, is awesome. It's great. I think that if a program is based and the people that have that program believe in it and it has touched their lives, I think they're not just presenting a program or something. They're presenting something they believe in. When you believe in something, it changes everything. It not only touches their lives, it touches the lives around everybody, especially the students that they service.
On behalf of Lamar Middle School, the counseling department, and the 1,500 children that we service here, we want to thank the Peaceful Solutions team for drawing up this wonderful program that I'm sure made a difference in a lot of these kids.
All right. Did y'all see the energy that was taking place with the teachers? I mean, the energy is there with these students. There's a lot of interaction with them. And if you noticed on a couple of those classes, they were rather large in size. I mean, we had auditoriums full, and it wasn't like there was just one class, just like at that school. There was three or four classes that took place at that school, and there was up to at least four events going on at any given time during that same time. So there's a lot of teaching going on. You're going to hear more about it. Again, please listen up. And these doors are open to the people that will listen right now. And it's my great honor and privilege, if you all please stand, my great honor and privilege to present to you the great future priest, Deacon Israel Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'm going to be speaking about the missionary trip. And so, on November 14th through 15th, we had a missionary trip in South Texas. So we got there Wednesday night, and then that morning, we had to split up and we went to three events the first day. Now, one of them was Martin High School. And we taught there in a library, and we acted out skits for the students. And we used those skits to help imprint the lesson into their minds so that during life or during the rest of the day, they could use what they were taught in their life. And then the next school we taught was Roma, and which is in the lower Rio Grande Valley. And Roma is Spanish for Rome. Take a look at their logo here. See that? Now that there is a Roman soldier from the Roman army or the roving army. So we taught there, and while we were teaching there, others went to Judge Rosie's court, and we had to film something there. Then the next morning, the second day we were there, the trip was the 15th on a Friday, and some of the teachers had to head out early that morning because we had to split up and we taught five schools that day. And some went to Eagle Pass and we taught three schools there. There was C.C. Wynn, Eagle Pass High School, and DAEP, which stands for Discipline Alternate Education Program. And then two more that day, Zapata and then Alexander. And we taught them the things in the Peaceful Solution in the Respect Unit on how to respond to disrespect. And that's on Chapter 5 of the Respect Unit. And the title is Responding to Disrespect. Now, all the teachers or the counselors had something positive to say about the peaceful solution. And here's a letter from Roma High School, and I'm going to read a little bit out of it. It says, "On behalf of the counseling department and all of Roma High School, we thank you for taking the time to talk to our 9th and 10th graders. Character education is an integral part of children's lives, and we are glad that your team, Peaceful Solution of Laredo, is helping our students in the rest of the Rio Grande Valley become better individuals as they are growing up." So the Peaceful Solution is helping them, or helping the people in that area, the whole South Texas, and also across the world, to become better people. "We need people like you to continue to promote and spread the message that bullying should not be occurring in our schools and community. I hope Peaceful Solution comes back again to Roma High School and build from the first presentation." So they want the Peaceful Solution to come back there and then build off of what they were already taught. "I may contact you in the near future to ask you to come again and offer the same presentation to our upper level students, 11th and 12th grades." So there they want us to come back and then teach the higher level students. Before we taught 9th and 10th, they want us to come and teach 11th and 12th. Praise Yahweh. So it says, "Again, thank you for everything that you do for our children in Roma and the rest of the Rio Grande Valley." So they thank the Peaceful Solution for coming there and teaching, and we taught them how to respond to disrespect. Now, as I said, they all had something positive to say about the Peaceful Solution. So keep coming to the classes, keep backing the Peaceful Solution, stay behind it, use it in your life. And on a quick note, in the last 1.5 months, the Peaceful Solution has taught over 10,000 people. 10,000 people, the Peaceful Solution. So the message is getting out to the world. So get ready and be prepared for the big crowds that may be coming. And with that, it's a privilege to present to you our next speaker, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, on what you just heard about, there's been several missionary trips that have been taking place, and one of the most recent ones, along with what the great deacon just talked about, was on 12/13/2013, a group of missionaries traveled to Laredo, Texas. Now, on that day, we taught at 3 different schools. The first was at Kristen Middle School. The second was at Juvenile Justice Alternative Education Program. We actually had to split up there, and we had to a group had to go there while we were still at the Kristen Middle School. And then the last school that we taught was Lamar Middle School. So you can guarantee that no matter where you are, if you're doing the work of Yahweh, you're going to be busy. There's no time to just sit there and do nothing. There's always going to be work for people to do. Now, at Kristen Middle School, this was out on their website. It's Lewis J. Kristen Middle School. That's the name of the school. They have a problem, and that problem is bullying. If you heard one of the counselors said, she said that they had a problem with bullying. Now, this is how they determine what bullying is. This is called a flowchart. And this is just one page, then they have another page, and then a little bit more on the third page. And it's really confusing. In fact, someone, they saw this, they're like, what is this? It's very, very confusing. You have to, if you see it, if it doesn't apply to any of, if it's not written, verbal, electronic, physical, then it's not bullying. Then you have to go through all these things, when with the Peaceful Solution, we have a very simple answer to what bullying is. Now, let me read their definition of bullying. It says, Bullying means engaging in written or verbal expression through electronic means or physical conduct that occurs on school property, at a school-sponsored or school-related activity, or in a vehicle operated by the district, and they list a bunch of other things. So they have this big, long definition where if you have your acceptance unit, if you can turn over to page 72, this one, the peaceful solution, turn over to page 72. It says, bullying is bad news. It says, did you know that there are some people who actually take pleasure in hurting others? They have yet to learn the peaceful solution, which means showing respect for one another and having healthy interactions to build lasting friendships. So they haven't learned to respect others through the peaceful solution. Now, instead, they steal the rights of others to be safe and rob people of the opportunity to make friends. They are called bullies. It is common knowledge that bullying is a problem in schools today. So the real answer to stopping bullying is teaching the peaceful solution. That's the only thing that will stop all of the problems that we are seeing today. There's no other way. The peaceful solution, the laws of Yahweh, are the only way. Now, if you have your book of Yahweh, if you can turn over to Yekeskia, it's on page 627. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, and they, whether they will listen or whether they will not, for they are a rebellious, disobedient house, will yet know that there has been a prophet among them. So whether they're going to listen or whether they're not, we're still going to go out there and teach this message. We're going to bring the laws of Yahweh to them. It doesn't matter if they're going to listen. It doesn't matter. We're still going to teach. And they're going to know that Yisrael Hawkins is out there and that there is a way to stop all the misery that is occurring in this world. Look over to chapter 3 and look at verse 4. It's on the same page. It says, then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words, the laws and the prophets, to them. So we're speaking the laws and the prophets. And what is the peaceful solution? It is the laws and prophets. The laws and the prophets. So we're bringing Yahweh's laws to this world through the peaceful solution. And also look really quick over to Yeremia, chapter 1, verse 8-9. It says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says Yahweh. Verse 9, then Yahweh put out his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So Yahweh is giving us the things to go and teach, and that is the peaceful solution. So we should not fear what's going to occur, because Yahweh will be with us if we're doing it on part of the house of Yahweh and Yahweh's work. So just remember that, as the great deacon said, in the last month and a half, the peaceful solution has taught over 10,000 students. That's a large number. So with that, remain strong, because the end is almost here. And with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Yisrael David.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'm going to be talking about, in particular, three of the schools that we went to recently. And the first one I'm going to be talking about is the Martin High School that you saw. That's the one where we were in the library with all the bookshelves in the back. And we taught a class about responding to disrespect. And of course, the students were very receptive. But one thing that I want to bring out to everybody and I want everyone to think about is before the class, you know, I was talking to some of the other teachers, and they asked me this. They said, you know, think of a movie. Think of, you know, all the movies that you've heard of or seen or whatever. And think of one where no one got killed. And try to think of that. So I asked the students that when I got up there. Think of a movie you've watched where no one got killed. And I want y'all to really think about that and try to think. I'm not telling you to go out and watch movies to find where someone got killed. But think of a movie where no one got killed. It's really hard to think of one. So, and they couldn't think of one. They were really racking their brains. They couldn't think of one. But, you know, we witness these disrespectful acts in the movies and murders and violence And if we watch these things and put them in our mind, they come out in our actions. And you can see it in our actions and in your conversations. So we really need to watch the things that we're watching. And we stress that in the class. And whether we realize it or not, they become part of our behavior. So in order to liven up the class a little bit, you know, because it can get a little bit dreary after a while.
Right up there.
We did some examples of some skits. Excuse me, sir. We're trying to have a class here. That would be an example of unintentional disrespect. Where, and that's one of the skits that we did. Where you'd be teaching a class and someone would walk up behind you on the phone and they don't realize you're having a class. So that's unintentional disrespect. So we did those, and that livened up the class a little bit, as well as a few others you'll see in the missionary film that'll be played soon. So we did some skits, and they really liked those. But one thing I want to stress is over the last several months, we've taught over 10,000 students in the Texas area. Over 10,000 students. Praise the Lord. And one thing that's really, really, it's occurring more and more, the students themselves that have gone to Peaceful Solution classes, they're actually bringing us into the schools. It's not just the teachers and the guidance counselors anymore. The students are saying, we need this in the schools. So that's really, really great. Praise the Lord. One student in particular, we were at one of the schools, and we were leaving out, getting IDs and stuff, and one of the students jumps out and says, "Hey, Mr. Krause." He was working in the office. I want y'all to think of that. This student was taught the Peaceful Solution years ago, but it's still showing his behavior so much that he was put in the office to work. So it shows. It really, really shows. Praise the Lord. And another school that we went to was in Zapata, a town called Zapata. And we have a long, long history with Zapata. Since 2004, we've been teaching anger management in the town and judge in courtrooms and, to judges and things like that. So we've got a really long history with Zapata. And an interesting thing about the Zapata school, we taught there, we had several classes in the auditorium. And, you know, we would ask them about, we would teach them about the STOP acronym. And by the last two or three classes, the students would come in, they'd already know the STOP acronym. It was spread throughout the whole school. We didn't even need to tell them what it was. So that was really, really great. Praise y'all. And one more thing that I want to stress. If you remember a few weeks ago, future priest Jacob, Deacon Jacob, gave a sermon speaking about double portions of assignments. Remember a few weeks ago we went down to South Texas. We had 4 assignments to do. This time we had 8. 8 assignments to do. So talk about double portions. So we're looking for teachers. Keep on studying. You never know when you'll be called to teach these classes and go out and teach these schools. You might just receive a double portion, too. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. How's everyone doing on this beautiful Sabbath day? So everyone's been hearing about the missionary trips and how things are going. And, you know, those 10,000 students, they're now equipped with the means to think positively and have positive thoughts. And what we're doing is we're negating the negative. And that's what I want to talk about today, that, you know, Yahweh prophesied that man's thoughts would be negative thoughts in this time period and throughout the 6,000-year plan when they rejected it in the beginning, when they rejected Yahweh's laws in the beginning. That's where this negativity, the malice, and the negative thinking, and the evilness, and all these things started. But I'm going to start off in Genesis 6:5. Okay, Genesis 6:5 is found on page 5, and it says, "And then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent, the thoughts of man's heart was evil continually," constantly evil. Okay. And I've got an article here, you know, talking about negative thinking and how it affects the minds. When you dwell on negative thinking, I'm not just talking about thinking, you know, negative. I'm talking about the breaking of Yahweh's laws, evil, negative, how it's compared to in the scriptures. Okay? But it says, what does the word no do to the brain? Okay? And this is like, not like, hey, no, you can't do that. This is an aggressive type of no. Okay? And what they did was they put the brain in a scanner. Okay, they put you in the scanner, and they're constantly monitoring the brain. And what they're doing is they're putting certain words in front of the screen. You know, a word comes up, and they watch how the brain reacts, either a negative word or a positive word. Okay, but it says, in an experiment was carried out to find out how the impact of negative words on the human brain, and here's what occurred. The brain scanning device allows researchers to know which part of the brain gets active when a person gets exposed to certain stimulus. They're doing this on human test subjects. So the brain, suddenly the humans were presented with the word no on a nearby screen. And guess what occurred? The brain functions, which include electrical signals passing through it, were disturbed for a few moments. Okay? And it says, for the first instance, you might think a temporary disruption won't cause major problems. But when you get to know that the disruption is usually a result of disruption in the brain chemicals, you will understand how severe the disruptions can be. Okay, and just the word no, for a few seconds there, the brain was disrupted. Okay, and this isn't saying that the word no is a bad word, it's just the way it was used to the person. Those negative words and habits keep the brain from keep your brain's functions disrupted on long term, and can result in severe long term complications. If you think negatively all the time, if you read negative news all the time, or you worry often about the risk of experiencing brain disruptions that can cause all kinds of unwanted emotions, okay? Negative thinking is just bad. It's just a bad thing. It's disruptive. Disruptive bad habit can ruin your brain and body and overall health in the long term. So you remember when Pasha said, when you read an article with a negative mind or you have a negative thought in your mind, that you dwell on it and it brings your whole... This is what this article is saying. And, you know, in the house of Yahweh, we've been being taught this in the Peace Solution, you know. Think positive. I'm not going to be able to get into all that, but go through the self-control unit. It talks, pretty much every chapter has a section on, you know, negate the negative, accentuate the positive, think positive, build each other up. Don't think negatively about your brothers and sisters. We should be uplifting one another in the house of Yahweh and thinking positively. And that's what we should be practicing here in the house of Yahweh. So, but these students, this is what they're learning. Okay, so with this, I'm going to turn it over to the great deacon, Anthothea.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated, brothers and sisters. We're going to be continuing, as you hear the great deacon talking about, and the future priests on these trips, these missionary trips. One of the great things we want to put in our minds to start thinking about is when you see the world and you see how individuals think, they always think about things after the fact, never before. They think in hindsight instead of foresight. We want to look at that because the Peaceful Solution talks about that. The Peaceful Solution teaches us to think foresight. That's think, stop, think, consider options before we proceed. Not act and then think about the consequences after the fact. You can be turned to page 731 in the scriptures. These missionary trips are awesome. And the students, the individual that we come across, they're very receptive. Yes, there are going to be challenges. You might be in a situation where you have 200 students at one time. And it's very challenging to get all the attention or the proper attention to get a point across. But it does work. And the point does get across. Because unlike any other thing, they never had or heard a program like this before. And that's the beautiful thing about a peaceful solution. It truly changes the hearts and minds. There is many work that takes place involving the peaceful solution. And just to touch on one of the work, I was speaking to one of the volunteers, and we had some challenges in the area of getting the man to come to classes. But we found out that there were certain stumbling blocks, and one of the, I guess we call them chaplains, they didn't like some of the things that we're doing. So they took us off the mandatory meetings. So when the volunteer go there, he was only meeting with a couple of men. So a few weeks ago, we was assigned a well-being and a course of action. But anyhow, when he got there, one of the students said, well, what are we going to do? So, no, and this is a heavy populated area I'm talking about. It's a very heavy populated area. So when they went up there, normally what they do when they go into this facility, they announce it and the man comes. So for months they've been announcing the class, but it was under a different name. Only a few men came. So now when they announce it, you want to guess what they say? The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And more people are now showing up to these classes. So sometimes the work might be prevented or try to be prevented in certain areas, but only benefited it and make it better. Because this is Yahweh's work. Nothing going to stop it. So now more people are showing up to these classes than ever before. And it's actually being heard through the whole facility. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program classes are here. So keep these things in mind. You know, I want to encourage everyone, like it said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Who else has learned the peaceful solution? Who else has the answer? When you look out at the world today, immorality is on the high. The problem is not the economy. The problem is immorality. The problem is lack of character education. So who's going to do this job? Who's going to teach this job? Who's going to train? That's why we have the classes, the evening classes, the speech classes. All these things help us to develop, to mold us and shape us to become these educators. On these trips, one of the great things I enjoy is the teamwork, is working together. Everyone has assignment, and everyone does the assignment with joy. And we get a job done. We're not outdoing each other. It's not a competition. We're there to win hearts and minds by teaching them the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That's what it's about. So I just want to encourage everyone to take that to heart. And remember, that word salt, it means to put aside, to separate. A person or group considered as the best or noblest part of society. That's us. That's why we are the one chosen for this job. I praise y'all and thank you for your time. This time I'd like to present to you the next speaker, the great, if you may please stand, the great Deacon Michael Asif Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great educators of Yahweh. You may be seated. It was a great honor to be able to go on one of the trips to South Texas. And the school that I was asked to go to is considered an alternative school, where they send what they call in society problem children or troubled teens. And when we went there, you couldn't help but have empathy for these children, these young people, because they're not the problem. It's society. It's the system. They're suffering the consequences. It was an amazing, unbelievable experience because I was a little nervous at first because I'd heard about the alternative schools, how they can be a problem. And so I was a little nervous. And so as we were going over there, I said a little prayer in my mind. I said, please, Yahweh, let this go. Let it go smoothly. Let everything go well. It went so well that even the policeman that they have in the school would come by and the students were quiet. He said that's never occurred. They listened. They were involved. They were asking questions. And they were all just, it was amazing, amazing experience to be able to be part of it. Now, this went so well that they wrote a letter of recommendation to people in authority in the area and also for the peaceful solution. I'd like to read it at this time. It says, and it's to the person they're addressing it to, "This letter is to inform you of an excellent program and presentation that our staff had witnessed this past Friday on the 15th day of November 2013. For you, all of you who like to look up numbers, that was the 15th day of November 2013. Presenters William Krause and Michael Ossoff visited our campus to present and demonstrate a very relevant social and behavioral techniques that make up the Peaceful Solution program. This character building program teaches very helpful stress management and disciplinary techniques that can be very useful to any student population in helping them cope with and handle their emotions while choosing the best, most peaceful courses of action that will keep them out of harm's way. The presenters did a fantastic job of clearly outlining and describing the basis of their program and its useful benefits. They introduced themselves and the program in a very personal way, relating their own experiences and showing videos to the students made by students that demonstrated the necessity for a lifelong character building program and appropriate behavior. The school students' interest was so powerful, and that's one thing I want to stress, it was unbelievably powerful that, you know, ones that were in there were always causing trouble and joking, and by the end of the class, they were asking questions, they were involved, they were laughing, and they were just like on the edge of their seats because we didn't speak down to them like the other programs do. We spoke with them and presented it to them like they're one of us. And it was very personal. And that's one thing that's so effective about the Peaceful Solution is you work one-on-one with the people, not one-on-one. Not the thumb-down thing, but you train them and guide them lovingly. And that's what's amazing about it. It was unbelievable. Okay, where was I at here? And we, as the staff, could clearly see that the students could relate to the information that was being provided to them. Both William and Michael reviewed the importance of positive character traits, including such qualities as responsibility, discipline, respect, compassion, and self-control, while at the same time explaining how to continue character growth that could lead to less problems and richer, fuller life. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program can definitely be largely beneficial to any student that can facilitate a huge growth in character among all students in the district. We believe that meeting with them could definitely provide some information on a new avenue of character growth for the students of this district. And they all signed it. So I want to tell you all, don't think you're not going to be used. If you're coming to the classes, if you're working one-on-one with the priests and wanting to really develop in this program to teach it, just be prayerful and ask Yahweh to use you in this program, to use you in this work. I had no idea I was going. And I was walking up to work on one day and I saw him and I said, saw him getting ready. I said, I'd love to go on one of these trips. And 2 days later, they called me. And I was going and didn't even know I was teaching until I was 3/4 of the way down there. So you will be used. Be prayerful. Ask Yahweh for your guidance and come to the classes and learn the program. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's with great honor I turn it over to one of Yahweh's great educators, the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Well, as you can see, the doors of teaching are truly being opened here in these last days. 10,000 students in the past month and a half. It's a great start, but there are plans in the works that will overshadow those 10,000 students. So, and that's what's great about the House of Yahweh. The longer you're here, the better it gets. Now, Pastor has always encouraged us to be teachers, and you can see there is a need for teachers in the House of Yahweh. I'd like you to turn over to Judges chapter 2. We're going to read just a couple scriptures here. Judges chapter 2. And, you know, when we go on these missionary trips here, we face a challenge. And you see part of this here in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, it's on page 200, verse 7. It says, "So the people served Yahweh all the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and all the days of the elders who outlived Yeshua, who had seen all the great works Yahweh had done for Israel. And Yeshua ben Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died at the age of 110. In verse 9, he was buried. And then look at, verse 9, he was buried. And then verse 10, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, completely dying out, another generation grew up who did not know Yahweh, nor the work which he had done for Israel." Well, here is the problem. You know, how come a generation came up that did not know Yahweh? You know, there's a law in Deuteronomy 6:7 that says you diligently teach them to the children. So you could see that this wasn't being done. And if you continue reading here, you know, because of that, the children of Israel did evil in the eyes of Yahweh. They served the Baals, they served lords. In verse 12, they forsook Yahweh. And it was because that teaching pattern had not continued. And I can tell you that, you know, the children in the house of Yahweh, they're taught to think. They're taught that their actions, whether righteous or evil, they have consequences. They have rewards associated with them. And this is not the same with the children out in the world. You know, the generation, and we're not just dealing with one generation when we go and teach them. It's many generations of not knowing Yahweh. And as the one man said that was commenting on the Steubenville incident that we saw in the news, you know, the parents are responsible because they didn't teach the children. Well, what about their parents before them and their parents before them? And the whole system that has taught the people today to reject Yahweh. So we're dealing with many generations here that do not know Yahweh, and it's actually a challenge that we face in just getting them to think. You know, you'd be surprised, and I know many of you, you know, may think, well, you know, I'm not a great teacher, I can't teach. You can teach. You know, you would be amazed at the things that pastor has taught us, that pastor has taught you, that's put in your mind right now, that would just completely blow the world away in the understanding that you have. You know, you don't realize it because, you know, we get this teaching all the time. But when you talk to the world, you see the difference. You see the difference. The children, they need the help. They need the guidance. Now let's look at over at Yeremiah chapter 4 to continue. Yeremiah chapter 4 on page 576. You know, and as we go out, as we do go out and speak to the students, you know, it makes me think of the many times in scriptures where the prophets and the apostles, they went out there, and what did they do? They said to the people, consider your ways. You know, they got them to thinking about what they were doing. And they posed the question to them that started the mind to working. And now, pastor, hit yourself on the head and get your brain to thinking. And that is a challenge. You know, we'd be surprised that we're taught in the house of Yahweh to think. And it's not the same when, you know, out in the world. But in Yeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, says, "For my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are senseless children, they have no understanding. They're wise enough to do evil." They're wise enough to do evil. And if you remember what Yahweh said to Cain, the desire to sin is with you. That's very easy. It's very easy to be disrespectful. But they have no understanding to do righteousness. There's never a teaching there that taught them to be respectful, to do the righteousness, the right thing. So, but this is what's changing. You know, in the great plan of Yahweh that we are so much a part of in these last days, we see that we're going now into the time period where there will always be the teachers of righteousness. You won't have these gaps, praise Yahweh. You won't have these gaps to where there's generations that they don't know Yahweh. They've never heard of the peaceful solution. Now let's look at Yeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. Yeremiah 31, verse 34. And this is what we see coming about, you know, with these great doors of teaching that are being opened up for us and the training and the teaching that we must take part of, as pastor has so much encouraged us and diligently taught us, put forth every effort. In Jeremiah 31:34, it says, "And they will no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, instructing them, know Yahweh, for they will all know me." You know, so it's not that we won't be teaching, but we won't have to say, "Have you heard of the house of Yahweh? Have you heard of the peaceful solution?" You know, everyone will know of the great work. And from there, the other teachings will continue. "For I will give them," I'm sorry, it says, "for from the least of them to the greatest of them," says Yahweh, they will all know Yahweh. "For I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more." So this great work, these great teachers that we need, is our jobs to fulfill. May Yahweh bless you. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to the great Kahan, Toby Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. You may be seated. Does everybody remember what Pasha was, the two things he told us to start applying in our lives last week? Concentration and remember. Remember? Did everybody do that this week? Try to remember to concentrate on the sermons and then to remember. And how did he tell us to remember these things? How did he tell us to remember them? Write it down. So remember to write these things down, to write what the teachers, the instructors are giving you. You know, it's going to help you to become better teachers. And like Deacon Tovia said, you know, don't say that you can't teach. Say that you can. Be a positive. Put that positive in your head, because you're being taught here at the house of Yahweh, okay, to become teachers. And if you remember, Pastor's been telling us that for a long time. So if you turn over to Deuteronomy 31:5, it's on page 173. And it's kind of awesome how Yahweh puts us all together, the group, and how we are bringing out this message. And a lot of it's going to sound like the guy before us, the priest before us, but it's not like we sit around. It's Yahweh putting it in our heads and what he wants us to bring out. So Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, it says, "Yahweh will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded it." And what is Pastor Israel Hawkins commanded us in these last days? To become teachers. To go out, that sign up on the over the conference room, it says, what's it say? Anybody know? Learn to teach and then teach what you taught. Or learn to teach and then teach what you taught. Right? Yeah. So, and Yahweh's given us this great opportunity to go to these people and to teach his people this message. So we need to look at this and grow and hold fast and hold fast to what Pastor is teaching us every week, and then go back and listen to these sermons either on the radio or on the CDs or the tapes, whatever, however you can do it, or these books of Israel. Okay, go back to these books. Well, let's go to this book. It's number 7 is the book of Israel, Teachers of Righteousness. And this was in 2007. It's on page 43. He wrote, well, he also said it too. He says, "The teachers are going to make the difference. Become a teacher so that you can make a difference. It's very important that you do learn to teach. And the only way you're going to learn to teach is to be taught. And how to teach is where? Where? House of Yahweh in Abilene." Okay? And then on page, and a couple of pages over, he said, you've got to keep the Sabbath, that is, you got to be a servant. He says, that's what Yahshua told us to do. And if you just set your mind and start helping. So, I mean, he's told us that over and over. This was in 2007. I know he's told us many times between 2007 and now. It says, not out there in your own work, but here, here in the house of Yahweh. One thing you can start helping in, of course, is teaching and learning to teach, because we're going to need all the teachers we can get. The more teachers we have, the less students there will be to have teaching. Smaller classes is what he's saying. And more individual interaction they can give to each student. This can make it better when a person, he's saying, when it takes when the person takes personal interest in a student. And that's why, like Deacon Michael Austin was saying with that letter, that we take personal interest in those students, and it shows what we've been taught, what he's been telling us in our actions and how we go out and among the people. So Deuteronomy 31, let's read verse 12. It says, "Gather the people together, men, women, children, and the strangers within the cities, so that they may listen, so they may learn to reverence Yahweh your Father by carefully observing and doing all the words of the laws." And he's told us this. I think Khan Ili also told us to go out to the cities, the city town meetings, the schools, the government, and tell them about the peaceful solution. Okay? And it says in the same way, their children who do not know this law may listen to it. Therefore, learning and reverencing Yahweh, your Father, as long as you live in the land which you are crossing over to the Jordan to possess. And that's talking about the children that aren't born, that are in the womb. And the pastors told us about that too, how the children in the womb to play these tapes, to play the lessons, and they will get this message in the womb. Okay, let's turn over to Isaiah 5:67. It says, "Yahweh will guide you continuously and satisfy your soul in the drought and make fat, strengthen your bones, and you will be like water, watered garden, and like the spring of water, whose water will not fail." You know, Yahweh will not fail us. He's opened these doors. Now we need to walk up to these doors. We can't just stay in our dwellings and not go to these doors that Yahweh's open. So I want you to remember that when we're instructed to go to these town meetings, to these congressmen, to the senators, you know, Yahweh's opening these doors in these last days, and you can see the multitude that it is growing, and that we do need teachers. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the great Khan, Kananya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. All right. So I have your first quiz for the Sabbath, if you've all been paying attention. Everybody ready? How many students have we taught in the last few months? All right. Praise Yahweh. Did I hear someone snore? Okay, no, praise Yahweh. Think about that, 10,000. There was a time period when the house of Yahweh first got started when there wasn't even 10,000 people on the mailing list. You know, and in a few months' time, we're actually able, being invited, to come and to teach Yahweh's peaceful solution. And this is a magnificent work that's taking place. And we don't see 10,000 people here in the sanctuary right now. We don't see 10,000 people at the feast right now, but know for sure in your hearts and minds that what's taking place is not just an instant thing. I mean, Yahweh, you know, he works over a period of time. Think about us and our overcoming and how long it took for us to grasp certain things, certain knowledge, certain truth, teachings from the house of Yahweh and start to apply those things in our lives. Well, it's no different with the people in the world. Little seeds are being planted here and there and here and there, in various places throughout Texas and throughout the United States and throughout the world. And eventually, those things will take root and they'll germinate. And when the time is right, those people will make their way to the house of Yahweh. All right? Know that for sure. And they're seeing and hearing the message that's being presented as simple truth. You know, in fact, when we were in Lamar, we were in Lamar Middle School, the one where the three counselors, I think you saw the three counselors standing up. You know, there was one was the sixth grade, the seventh grade, and the eighth grade counselor. And they were very excited to have us there. And, you know, we got to talk with them a little bit, and we asked them, you know, what are some of the things that you're facing, that are issues, that are problems that you deal with on a regular basis. Of course, they said bullying, you know, cyberbullying. And one of the counselors said, you know, we're having an issue right now with children and relationships, you know, because you look around the schools and you see, you know, boys and girls walking around and, you know, things that would be totally no-no off limit, you know, according to what we teach here in the House of Yahweh. But what do the counselors do? The teachers do? They just kind of turn their heads and let it go. And, you know, this is contributing to the problem right now because the education is not there. You know, as the great Kahan Zephaniah brought out when he was speaking, you know, it's a generation that does not know to do righteousness, but they don't know because they're not taught. So the words we bring to them, yes, they are a foreign language. Didn't know we could speak a foreign language, did you? Yep, we sure can. We speak the laws of peace. But it's something that's new to them, but it's not new because it's been around for thousands of years, but it's new to their ears because they haven't been taught it. But even while we were there at that school, Lamar, sounding the message, sounding the warning, you know, showing people, you know, what certain activities, what certain choices will bring, the results of bullying and responding to disrespect with more disrespect, and also showing them how to turn it around and to show respect and to be respectful to themselves. It was 12/13, that was on December 13th, right when we were in that middle of that session there was another school shooting that took place in Colorado, just a few miles down from the Columbine school shooting that took place, I believe, in 1999. Everyone's probably heard, you know, one young lady was shot, and the gunman shot himself, who she just recently died not too long ago as a result of her wounds. So, you know, these things are going to continue to build. They're going to continue to get worse until we as a society, and this is what we tell the teachers, this is what we tell the parents, the administrators, and yes, the students too, until we as a society adapt a standard of morality into our homes, into our lives, and start to change it. You know, one of the things that I see in examining myself and in reading the Peaceful Solution, because I see it because the Peaceful Solution taught it to me, Yahweh's Peaceful Solution, is that we are the ones that hold ourselves back from moving towards perfection. We are the ones that hold ourselves back from bringing peace in our lives. Once Yahweh gives us the knowledge of the truth, it's the tools that we need to build a righteous character. But sometimes it's procrastination. Sometimes it's, I don't know if we can really do that. I don't know if I can really. That's a big task, you know, bringing peace to the whole world. And who am I? Am I in the place of Yahweh? Well, you're supposed to be training to be like Yahweh. Didn't Yahweh say he's going to make you in his image and likeness? All right. We hold ourselves back. And as the great deacon talked about, Deacon Toby, about the negative thinking, those are negative thought patterns that restrain us. They put kind of a stranglehold on our ability to build our character. What is there that Yahweh says in developing this righteous character and becoming like him? What is there that Yahweh says can't be done? Nothing, you know, outside of breaking his law, but I'm not talking about that. Nothing. With Yahweh, all things are possible, right? Praise Yahweh. So if we believe that, and truly trust in Yahweh, then we will put forth every effort, every ounce, every piece of minute, time, second that we have into building our minds in righteousness, to training, which, you know, that takes place in our daily interactions with one another, when tests and trials, also known as blessings, come upon us. You know, when we stump our toe or somebody stumps it for us, maybe they want to be a blessing for us, you know, when those opportunities come up, that's our training to show Yahweh, yes, I will stand in my place. I will be like you, and I will rejoice in everything that you allow me to go through, because the kingdom and your righteousness is my goal. One thing I want to mention here before I close out, because if you remember, Pastor talked a little bit about the Phil Robertson Duck Dynasty thing last week, and that, you know, media frenzy. Of course, you know, they recently, they let him back in, you know, they forgave him, you know, and so they're going to bring back their money back. I mean, their big show. It makes money for them, okay? That's, A&E is not a, they're not a righteous corporation, you know. They're just, they're run by the Catholics and everything. And Mr. Robertson, he has some morality, and he's been learning from the scriptures for about 25 years. Well, you know, Israel Hawkins has been teaching for over 50 years from the Holy Scriptures, so I can guarantee you these words of the witness has been trickling out and spreading throughout the whole world, and he's receiving bits and pieces. And one of the things he mentioned when he had the interview that he had with several news stations, and one of his congregants thanked him for, you know, standing behind his words, you know, standing behind what he believed in. And he said, in a defiant prayer, he said, at the end of the session, he led a defiant prayer, which included the words, "I will not give or back off from my path because you conquered death, Father. So we are not worried about all the repercussions." All right. Now that's a strong moral character there, to a person of courage and determination and so forth, to stand in their place and not back down because of repercussions. Well, you know, he's going to be real joyous when he meets Israel Hawkins, because he has not backed down off of his faith or what he believes in because of repercussions. Excuse me. But then he mentions immorality here, because the whole big thing was about the sodomites. And he says, regarding Leviticus 18, and I'll radio edit, but he says, "We murder each other and we steal from each other, and relationships and immorality go ballistic. All the diseases that just so happen to follow relationship mischief, boy, there are some microbes running around now." Now, where do you think he got that from? There are some microbes running around now. And he said, "These types of sins are numerous and many, and I have a few myself. So what is your safest course of action? If you're a man, find a woman and marry them and keep your relationship right there." Keep it lawful, in other words. So just keep that in mind, you know. There are people who are seeing the right and proper way, and as Yahweh told one of his prophets, there are, you know, several that have not bowed the knee to Baal, and they will come to you when the time is right. They're in hiding right now. He's not really hiding, but he'll receive the full knowledge of the truth. And when he does, I believe he'll be a great, great inspiration and a source resource for many people. So, but it's only through the one sent. So if you all please stand. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Samuel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. We're going to change lanes here a little bit, but if you call to remembrance, last week, Pastor asked who saw the moon with his face on it. You guys remember that? Well, we're going to show it to you, but before we do, if you can write this down, it's very important. Write this down here. The date that it was actually sawn on was 12/19/2013 at 7:48 p.m. Okay, so if you write that down, because it's very important. Now we're going ahead and play this too. Now on this moon here, there's actually a pastor's face that's actually shown twice. The first one, you see there, he's facing towards the right. And it's going to do this for about four times. Everyone see that? Yeah. Now the second picture that's going to come up with Pastor's face is actually like he's looking towards you. Does everyone see that one there? Now if you notice there, one thing that's always noticeable with Pastor's face, you know, on these signs, is the glasses there. If you look at the glasses, how perfectly it matches there. Praise Yahweh. Now, you see there, you know, Pastor's face is on the moon, and, you know, Pastor actually gave an assignment to the future priests, the great Kahans, and the great deacons, and they're going to show their report here. So if you all please stand, I'd like to present to you one of the future priests here,
the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Today I'm going to be talking about the 2014 April 29th annual solar eclipse that NASA is saying that's going to occur. And so I did a study on this, and the first place I went is in the Webster's New World Dictionary, and that's the dictionary that I'm going to be using throughout this speech. And so I looked up the word eclipse, and it means a partial or total obscuring of the sun when the moon comes between it and the earth. And that's a solar eclipse, and that's what I'm going to be talking about here. So I went in the year that they said it was going to take place, in 2014, and I looked that up in the Hebrew in the Strong's, and it said it's from word number 6313, and it means relaxation and intermission. So it gave the Brown driver and Briggs number and 806 section B, page 806. And I went there, and it meant very strange. So there will be an intermission, whatever nuclear war will take place, and it's going to get to a point where Yahweh will have to step in to save his saints. And if not, all life would be gone. So I went to the Webster's New World Dictionary again at intermission, and it means intermitting or being intermitted. Interruption, interrenewal of time between periods, and pause. So I went back to 6313 because that's where the Strong said that the number 2014 came from. So I went there, and it means cease, be feeble, faint, or be slacked. Now, if we remember when John Kerry set a 9-month goal, he set a 9-month goal to reach a final status agreement. I have this article from the Jewish Daily Forward. Now, there's a picture there that shows John Kerry. It says, John Kerry sets 9-month timeline for peace. And it shows the picture of John Kerry with Mahmoud Abbas and Sidney Livni. And then there's another article from the Jerusalem Post. And it says, breaking news, Kerry talks aim to reach final status agreement in 9 months. Israelis and Palestinians will aim to reach a final status agreement to end their conflicts over the next 9 months, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says in Washington. Now, if we remember, this 9-month goal, this eclipse that they're saying that's going to occur on 2014, April 29th, this eclipse marks the end of that 9-month goal that John Kerry was setting. So it's going to occur after the Feast of Passover. And if we remember when Pastor said that we can enjoy the feast and expect it to occur after the feast, because Yahweh wants us to enjoy the feast. So this is very important. And in that time period, that's when the intermission time is going to take place. So with that, stay tuned, because more information is going to come. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, future priest, Deacon Abishom Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, if you remember, Pastor's face was on the moon. And the different numbers and the different dates and stuff that tie into this, it gets very interesting. Now, on 12/19, this article right here, it's entitled, Yishol Hawkins Tells Pope to Let Yahweh's People Go, Let Yahweh's People Attend This Upcoming Feast, and Plead to Stop Prophetic Plagues, he sets a new article. That's the title of this article. And it was posted on 12/19/2013. And that's whenever the picture of the moon was taken. Now, but the picture of the moon with Pastor's face on it was seen two nights before, the 17th and the 18th. So that would be three nights. 17th, 18th, 18th, and 19th. Now, it was checked. This article was checked on 12/20/2013. That would be the next morning. And there was 7,613 news agencies that took this article overnight. If you can turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31 and verse 35. It says, this is what Yahweh says, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, who stirs up the seas and makes its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. Now, remember that word, waves. Now, in this article right here, it starts off and it says, the House of Yahweh posted an article this week on their blog with a new plea to the Catholic Church to release members in other countries who desire to come keep their upcoming feast in the United States. Then the second sentence says, this week, Yishol Hawkins is once again making waves with the Catholic Church in an emotional plea to the Pope in a new article. Making waves. And Pastor is making waves with the Catholic Church. You can write down for your notes Isaiah 44, verse 18. Isaiah 51, verse 15. And 16, Jeremiah 51, verse 42 and 55. And these are talking about how Yishol Hawkins are talking about how Yahweh is gonna shut up Babylon and how he makes waves. Now, and you could also write down Zechariah 10, verse 11, and Yada 1, verse 13. And these are all talking about how we're making waves. Now, if you'll all please stand. I'd now like to turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have a lot of things to cover here today. Now, Today I'll be talking about the prophecies about the moon. Now we have to remember that Yahweh is in control. For your notes, if you can write down Isaiah 45 verse 18 and positive law number 1. This shows Yahweh's in control. He's in control of everything that occurs in these last days. Now, if you turn to Yael 2, page 693, Yael 2, verse 31, it says, "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and wonderful day of Yahweh comes." Now, this will occur with the nuclear war that's going to take place. And then this next verse says, "Whoever calls with the name of Yahweh will be delivered. Those are the ones who have Yahweh's protection." The people who keep Yahweh's laws and his feast days. Now, the moon will be turned into blood. This is from the nuclear war. Now, there's a lunar eclipse. If you have the calendar here. Right there. The first day of the Omer is a lunar eclipse. You can see it right there. Now, this is going to occur during the feast. Now, from the Strong's, the moon is going to be red. You can look this up. The article is Solar and Lunar Eclipses Worldwide. Now, that's going to occur 4/15/2014. So the number 415, it means Yahweh. It says from the Strong's, the mighty God of the Israelites. But we know Yahweh is not a God. When Pharaoh looked through all his books, he saw that Yahweh was not a God. And he will never be a God. But it says Yahweh. We know Yahweh is in control. Now, I looked up the day and the year. It's 11/15/14. And it means to burn, a flame. And we know there will be nuclear war. Now, the start time for this eclipse, the lunar eclipse, is 11:55 p.m. And it means a sour grape. Then that's from 11:54, and it means to be sour, an immature grape, an unripe grape. Then the max time, when you'll see it the most, is 2:46 a.m. And it means manacles or chains. And we know Satan will be bound. Not physically, but she won't be able to spread her deception to the world anymore. So we know she will be bound. Praise Yahweh. And that comes, it says 4/21/31. And that means what leaps forth. We know in Malachi 4 verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Malachi 4, 2, page 727, it says, "But for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall." Us, right here, the people who reverence Yahweh's name. It means what leaps forth, a flash of fire, a burning arrow, a bond. Now, from the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 278, it means a missile or a shooting star. And we know the stars will fall from heaven. That's a prophecy. And then that comes from 2187, and it means to draw together, to spring forward. Remember the scripture that says, leaping like calves released from the stall. And then the last one, the end time, when it will end, when you won't see it anymore, is number 5:36 a.m., and it means sick. That's from 5:35, and it means to be sick, to mourn. And we know the world is going to mourn when the nuclear war goes off. They'll mourn because of all the destruction that's going to occur. So this is a prophecy for the last days. So remember everything that's going to be going over. Remember the numbers. Take notes. Remember it's on the first day of the Omer. And remember everything about the moon. The prophecies about the moon. Pastor's face was in the moon. So with that, I'll turn it over to... I'd like to present to you, if you all please stand, the great future priest, Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Our time is near. December 19th is when, 2013 is when the picture was taken of our pastor and overseer, Yishel Hawkins, face in the moon. It was seen for 3 nights, December 17th, December 18th, and December the 19th. So I looked up I looked up 12 and 19 in the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and it means to be isolated, fenced, mighty things, and withholden. Now we know Satan is going to be bound up so that she can't deceive any more people. Withholden. And then it was Brown, Driver, and Briggs for 130D. And it means enclosed, secrets, mysteries, and unattainable things. And it gave a whole bunch of scriptures, but after secrets and mysteries, it has two scriptures. It's Jeremiah or Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, and Ezekiel or Yechezkiah 21 and verse 25. And then it says, be withheld. So I looked up Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, if you could turn there. It's on page 601. And it means, or it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, which you do not know. If you could look on to verse 6, it's on page 602, and it says, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing, new flesh to it. I will heal my people and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Yahweh will heal his people. And in Lamuchia class, the great Kahan was talking about in the kingdom, there's going to be no pains. We're not going to have any pains because Yahweh will heal his people. If you could turn over to Yechezkiah 21, it's on page 643. Yechezkiah 21 and verse 25. It says, and you, O profane prince, wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose iniquity comes to an end. Remember, this iniquity won't be in the kingdom. So I took from Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 and 6, and I looked it up in the Strong's. If you can see right here, it's 33:36, and it means conception. Framed, thing framed. But it says from 33:35. So if you look up 33:35, it means through the squeezing into shape, as a potter to determine a resolution, maker, purpose. And it reminds me of when Pastor was talking about that Yahshua is trying to make us round so we could fit in the hole. So through the squeezing into shape to determine a resolution. Purpose. What's the purpose? To be in Yahweh's kingdom. And then it says, probably identical with 33:34. So when you look at that, it means to be narrow, in distress, distressed, and be vexed. So I looked up the word vexed in the dictionary. This was the Webster's New Riverside University Dictionary. And it means bring physical discomfort to talk about or debate at length. If you've seen this book before. This book is The Silver Bullet. And it was in Washington, D.C., and they had this debate for an hour and a half about what bomb they should use to bomb Syria. So I went back to 1219 in the Strong's, and it means fenced. So I looked that up where it has all the scriptures, and it had Zephaniah 1 and verse 14 through 18. That's on page 712. It says, verse 14, the great day of Yahweh is near. It's near and hastening quickly. The sound of the day of Yahweh is bitter. The mighty men will cry there. The day is a day of wrath or judgment, a day of trouble and distress. Skip down to later, and it says, darkness, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Look down to verse 17. I will bring such distress among men that they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their flesh like the dung. And with that, remember all these things we've been going over. Remember Yeketzkiah 21 and verse 25, because iniquity is coming to an end. And our time is near. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Samuel, if you will please stand.
Shalom again. You may be seated. You know, one thing that's very interesting, when we were given the assignments on studying the moon, but, you know, the great future priest there went over 1219, and, you know, it was very fun because we actually studied the same thing, and we took different paths with the scripture, but we ended up the same place. And Yahweh willing, we'll show that, but, you know, 1219, if you write down 1219, it's from 1210. And remember, 1219 is when this moon was sighted. And it was very interesting was this definition from 1210, which means to gather grapes. To gather grapes. And it has a lot of, it's very symbolic. You know, those who are into farming and know the importance of the moon and when to plant, on what when's the moon phases. But, you know, I looked up harvesting grapes because, you know, I don't harvest grapes, but I looked up information about it. It's very interesting. I looked it up here, and it's from almanac.com, and it's talking about planting grapes. And it says, in the first couple of years, the vine should not be allowed to produce fruit. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be strengthened its root system before it can support the extra weight of fruit. And, you know, when I'm reading this, think of all the scriptures that comes to mind and what we're doing in these last days. But it says here, pruning is important. And the word prune is very important. Y'all willing, I'll get to the word prune. But pruning is very important when it comes to harvesting grapes. It says, prune annually
when vines are dormant in March or April. And, you know, what I want you to do is, if you have your calendars, look up the month March and April, and you'll find something very interesting there. But this is referring to that same website. It's talking about taking care of harvest, taking care of grapes. Now here's a part where it says harvesting or storing grapes here. It says, if grapes aren't ripening, pinch back some of the foliage, which is, you know, the leaves of the plant, to let in more sunlight. Grapes will not continue ripening once picked from the vine. Test a few to see if they are to your liking before harvesting, usually in late summer, early fall. But, you know, this brought into a remembrance, you know, once hearing Pastor mention this scripture here. If you have your scriptures, if you turn to Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2, found on page 832, Yochanan chapter 15, verse 2, and it's very important that we remember these things that Pastor has brought out. You know, it's very important. But in verse 2, it says here, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he takes away. Every branch that produces fruit, he purges it. He purges it. The word purge. The word purge from Yochanan 15 in verse 2 is Greek number 2508. And it means to prune. It means to prune. So when you purge something, you actually prune it. And if you look at Webster, how it all ties in, it goes back to the word refine. You guys remember what the word refine goes back to? Refining as gold. And that's what we're doing each and every day. We are refining ourselves as gold. You know, but we're cleansing from filth and purifies it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, and remember that through who are we going to be purified through? Through who? Yisrael Hawkins. Through Yisrael Hawkins, through his teachings, through the things he teaches us on a daily basis, on Sabbaths, we will be purified. Now, the moon, I looked up another website here where it talked about the relations between the moon and planting. It is very very interesting here. It says there is more moisture in the soil at the time of the new and full moon. This increased moisture encourages the seed to sprout and grow. You know, and this came from gardeningbythemoon.com, and it's very interesting because it all tied back into this one scripture here. And you don't have to turn to it, it's pretty lengthy, but it's in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14 through 20. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 20, which is found on page 980. But I want to, if you read there, you know, today, go back and read that scripture. But it's talking about a man with a sickle. Does that ring a bell? Remember that cloud that we saw? If you look here, the man with the sickle. Okay, this is the raw picture here. Everyone see that? But it's the man with the sickle. And there's a lot that goes into that. You know, but write this scripture down. Revelation 19, verse 15. Jeremiah 6, verse 9. Yael, chapter 3, and verse 10 through 14. And Matthew 13, and verse 38. You know, if you go back and read those scriptures, how they all tie in together about the harvesting. We should know that the time is coming soon where we're going to be the ones that will teach this world through our actions and what we actually produce forth. We have to be ready for this. So, you know, we're going to continue on with this here. So stay tuned. If you all please stand. So much more information about this that we haven't covered yet, but stay tuned. Praise Yahweh. If all please stand, I'd like to now turn over to the great Deacon David.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated, saints of Yahweh. I'm going to try to get through this really fast for you. Okay, first of all, Yahweh's very serious about what's taking place now at this time. And I'd just like to show you a little bit of a few pictures of the future priests as they were getting ready here to, as they were doing their studies and digging into this. And there's so much more information. I mean, you're only hearing a portion of it today. There's going to be a lot more to come out, so stay tuned. But there's several pictures of them doing their studies diligently. They spent a lot of time on this, and they'll get more time, I'm sure, to bring all this forth. Then I don't know if any of you saw the van down there at the entrance. Did you see the van as you came in today? Yeah, there's a van down there. It's a character van, isn't it? Some of y'all have seen that before in years past. Looks like it's a new addition to the museum, maybe. But there's a lot of interesting things about that character van and how Yahweh is elevating His house and the peaceful solution at this time, which you're going to hear more about. I just wanted to kind of lay a little foundation for that for you. And, you know, I'm going to say that. There was a... The man Phil Robertson and what he said about the microbes and everything and that the great Kahan mentioned to us, that's a big deal. And I believe Yahweh's letting us see that there are a lot of people out there that are standing up for righteousness. Now, there's a whole lot of them out there that are scared at this time. I mean, they don't really want to stand up and take the persecution that would come at this time. But you know what? There's a time coming very soon now where they're going to step out of that shell and they're going to do what they need to do and they're going to come to the house of Yahweh. They're going to be seeking us. Praise Yahweh. In fact, to show you just a little bit more here, this is very interesting. See this article here? I'll explain it to you in just a minute. But it's Israel Hawkins says, let me read this to you. When you type in Israel Hawkins into Google, Google gives words that other people are searching for too. Not just you, but that others are searching for. Israel Hawkins says, you know, that term, that phrase right there, Israel Hawkins says is now a commonly searched for phrase on Google. Praise Yahweh. People are wanting to know what Israel Hawkins says. I'm going to show this to you. You can see it for yourself when you punch it in a browser, if you do that. Israel Hawkins says is one of the main things that's being searched at this time by other people. Also, number one that pulls up is the House of Yahweh. Number two is IsraelHawkins.com. We're going to skip number three right now, but number four, again, is Yahweh.com. Number five is some of the press releases. This is the order that it comes up in on Google. Number six is our Facebook page, Israel Hawkins Facebook page. And then number seven, of all things, how about that? Number seven is Israel Abel Hawkins Facebook page. And we'll skip number eight, but number nine is our Twitter page, which some of you may be aware that if you're signed up on the Twitter page, which I believe you can do from the House Yahweh website, it'll give you alerts to remind you about prayer, you know, 9, 12, and 3, and it'll remind you about law classes that are taking place, Lamuji class, it'll remind you about the sermon getting ready, I think 9:15 it goes off and reminds you that the sermon will be starting in 15 minutes at 9:30, right? So it reminds you of these things. And you just need to be aware of those secret worshipers out there. In fact, let me just say, keep your mind on three a little bit here, okay? Keep your mind on three. And turn to page 725. It's Malachi 1, verse 11, on page 725. And I'll tell you a little bit about 3 here in just a minute. But Malachi 1:11 on page 725 says, "For from the rising of the sun," remember that, "to the going down of the same, my name will be great among the Gentiles." Is it great amongst the Gentiles right now? Well, you know what? It's becoming great, isn't it? Like we just saw in the article, and just like we saw with the statements that are being made by certain people. You know, they're reading and hearing the house of Yahweh preaching. They're hearing this message coming forth. Otherwise, they wouldn't know those things. In every place, incense will be offered to my name, and with a pure offering, for my name will be great among the Gentiles. His name, Yahweh's name, and the house of Yahweh, Israel Hawkins, will be great among the Gentiles, says Yahweh. By the way, that verse is Malachi 1:11, which is three ones, right? So that'll make some sense here in just a minute, and then I'm going to get out of here and turn it over to someone else. But you'll remember when the face was seen, when Pastor's face was seen on the bakery wall, it was three nights. Now, I know some of you may say, well, no, I thought it was two. But if you remember, the person that saw it, by the way, there was three children in the car, but the person that saw it said, you know, it was there the first night, which was a Friday night, Saturday night, and then on Sunday night went back, and the impression was there for those that knew that Pastor's face was on the wall, which represents all of us, by the way, in the house of Yahweh, but that knew his face was on the wall, the impression was there. And it was fading, though, and then it faded completely away to even those that that knew it was there couldn't go up there right now and see it. So it was there actually for three nights. Or, you know, 2 7/8 nights, whatever you want to call it, but it's three nights, okay? Then three nights on the moon, Pastor's face was seen, three nights on the moon, right? And I remember, oh boy, time is sliding by. I remember a while back, there was a cloud that was seen when I was running an errand for the house of Yahweh, and that cloud actually was a three, and here it is right here. I'm going to show it to you just real fast. It's kind of blurry because these phones, you know how they get when you take a picture. It's really hard to see, but that it was a cloudy day, and the light was shining through, and it was a perfect three. When I took the picture with this, I took about seven pictures because it wasn't coming in as clear when it was taken on the camera, but it's a perfect three. I thought, well, that's strange. And so then I go to this place doing this errand, and I was supposed to pick up one, it was an animal, one of these animals, and I get there, and long story short, before it was all over, for some reason, I had three, okay? And so when I'm pulling out of the driveway, I noticed that the time was 6:13. And the reason is there was a police car there, had someone pulled over, and I pulled my phone out, and 6:13, I put it back, and I said, wait a minute. And I looked, and it changed to 6:14. I said, man, it was 6:13. Called Pastor, talked to him. There's more on that coming up, okay? But these threes are like all over the place. So I'm wondering what all this is about. And the other night, couldn't really sleep. I was tossing and turning. And I woke up and I said, that's it. I'm getting up. I got up. I look at my phone. 3:33 a.m. And I said, okay, that's enough. So I get in there and I start digging in the book of Yahweh. And I called Pastor a little bit later. And, you know, this 3:33, he said, well, you know, it might be on the sun. And we know, for Great Kahan showed us a picture of his face on the sun before, and sure enough, we started looking, and his face indeed was on the sun many, many times. We got to get do some more work on this, but here's one right there, if you can see it, right here with something on his head, which, you know, goes along with some other things we saw in his hands raised. There is a particular picture that we looked at that actually... You'll see some more of this next week or the next week or the next week, Yahweh willing. But his face is in here one, two, three times. So what he said was maybe it's on the sun. And sure enough, it is. And you'll see some more of that. So here's this 3:33. And I just want to tell you that three means complete. In Bullinger, the Book of Numbers, three is completeness, the most completeness that you can actually get. It is indeed complete. And Yahweh's house at this time is completing its job, and we're going to see some great things taking place at the following feast. By the way, just to show you on the calendar, the future priest showed you this a minute ago. It shows you where the second new moon and actually the lunar eclipse will be taking place at the beginning of the feast and then at the end on the 29th, on 429, that's when the solar eclipse takes place after the feast is over. So remember, Pastor said we'll be seeing some great things after the feast. Now, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you a great priest of Yahweh, the great Kohen, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I don't have much time, because your food is on the way. Okay, I got to really go through this fast. The great Deacon David just got done talking about the van. Did anybody see the van down there? Okay, we're gonna talk a little bit about that. But first, I got to show you this. Last Sabbath, I had a talk with Pastor, and he told me that a very diligent sister that works on this was up very early in the morning, and last Sabbath went to her computer to see how many hits on that article regarding Let My People Go. This is the actual picture of the page right here. And as you can see, there's a number, total impressions, 7,613 or 7,613. Can I get the other picture? David? Deacon David? Okay, now 7,613, keep that in your mind. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I want to show you, when Pastor was telling me about that, that number kind of jarred my mind a little bit. It kind of made me remember something. And I thought about it and thought about it. And finally, at about 10 o'clock that evening, it dawned on me. Pastor's Peaceful Solution van has the number 7613 on it. Now, just to prove that we didn't go and get these plates made special, okay, I need to show you also the title of the van. This right here, it's an 87 Chevy van, and the title was 119-2010, and that was the plate number assigned, AH37613. There'll be more brought on that AH3 as well. And remember, you know, when this took place, of course, nobody had any clue about any of this. You know, Yahweh guides the whole thing. Now, because I don't have a lot of time, I need to I'm just going to lay some foundational things right now. If you all remember and go back on the House of Yahweh archives on yahweh.com, by the way, there is an archive list of sermons you can go back and watch. But on 7-6-13, Pastor gave a sermon called Egypt, Peace in 30 Days. And he began to teach us about Egypt and how Christianity came out of Egypt and some other things. Now, I went online that same afternoon because I was so fascinated about the fact that he talked about it on two Sabbaths, 7-6-13 and 7-13-13, back-to-back weeks. And there'll be more brought on that as well. But I went online to read about this Coptic Pope that he talked about because I had no clue that there was another Pope in Egypt, a Coptic Pope. Now, I found this article it's called EWTN News. It's a Catholic news service website. And it says, Coptic Orthodox Patriarch's Vatican visit is the first in 40 years. Now, this story, as you can see, ran on May 8th, 2013, which was a couple months before Pastor told us about this Coptic Pope. But notice, he was at the Vatican a couple months before the uprising took place in Egypt, this Coptic Pope. Okay, think about this. Now, notice this. This is the actual... The URL on the website has a story number. And notice here, it gives you the name of the website, Catholic News, Vatican. 7613 is a story number. Now, what would be the odds of them knowing that this 7613 was going to be tied into this? Now, I'm going to show you something else. This is word number 7613. It's, for lack of time, strong 7613. I don't have time to go through the definitions, but it's tied into this word right here.
53:75, which another great Kahan is going to be talking about. Now let's go to 53:75.
I don't have much time.
Okay, here we go. It's 53:75, and I want you to notice the Hebrew word. Let me make it bigger.
NASA. NASA. 7613, 71313. And having laid that groundwork right there, like as I said, I don't have much time. It's been a blessing talking to you and laying this foundation. And at this time, if you'd all please stand, I have the great privilege and opportunity to present to you the great Kohan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, I hope everyone took great notes today. Really, really detailed notes. It was a lot of information brought. And the thing that we want to make sure to encourage everyone with, that the face on the moon and all of these numbers that tie in together, it just doesn't make a statement. It tells a complete story, a very detailed story, one that is very inspirational and very soon to take place. We are in the last of the 7 years, the last 3.5. There's no doubt about that. Judgment is at the door for those of us here of the house of Yahweh. Keep in mind, the great Kahan just showed 7613 in numerous areas. Of course, the great judge recorded, took a picture of the 7613, the people that had inquired of the news article. It showed on the van, the tag number. But there was also more to the 7613. Now, keep in mind, going back, the last week of July, or the last week of June, myself and a few of the missionary team went to Washington, D.C. to hand out invitations to the Stop All War events that were taking place in Washington in July. Now, we left that Sabbath that Pastor had brought out some information about Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Now, once again, this sermon that we're going to play a clip from was given on July the 6th of 2013. So if we could go ahead and play that clip.
I left off last week with Zechariah 3 now and 1. But I'm not going to go back to that today. I was, but I want the great Kohan Ilya Hyler Hawkins to bring the pictures. He called me right after services last week and said what I brought was an exact description of what is shown in the nebula. And they have the pictures of it. NASA took them, so they can't be denied. So I said, well, I want to go to Egypt and show, I want everyone to know what the prophecy is concerning Egypt. Everyone in the world needs to know it. But if you remember now, we saw in Zechariah that the Yahweh's work in the last days, as was Yahweh and then Yahshua and the branch, and is the last day's work of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, as Zechariah shows, and shows the branch, the olive branch, and the same thing that Revelation 11 shows, which is the two witnesses. And then Satan opposing every move of Yahshua, because Yahshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Yahshua is high priest over this work in this time period, in the last generation.
Now, how many of you heard Pastor mention that we were going to bring, it was myself and a few of the great Kahans were working on it. Myself, the great Kahan Benjamin, the great Kahan Yeshua, many of us working on this picture. How many of you heard him say that we would bring a picture that was taken by NASA? And he said this, of course, on 7613. Now, of course, the picture that he was speaking of was the Horsehead Nebula. It was this one right here. Back into there. right here. And of course, that was where it's very easily to see Pastor with someone else. The shape of Pastor is the way, the detail of the tallit, the kippah, the posture, everything. It's not hard to tell that's him. And that's the actual picture taken from the website. We've never done anything to show it in greater detail because the picture does enough itself. It does it justice. So I want you to keep in mind, now, of course, the great Khan Benjamin brought forth that this 7613, of course, is from word 5375, and that word is NASA. Now, he gave that on that sermon, he mentioned on 7613, we would bring a picture that was taken by NASA. Now, and look at what it means to lift. To lift in a great variety of applications, that's the okie coming out. Stammering lips, it's a blessing to have them. Literally, or figuratively, absolutely, and of course, we want to notice that accept, to advance, and of course, the definition carries on. But of course, remember, keep this in mind. We want to put this in your mind. 7613, Pastor gave a sermon explaining that we would bring a picture that was taken by NASA. It was in detail of removing the filthy garments from Yeshua. Of course, that's in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 4, where in 3 verse 4 it says, "And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Then to him he said, behold, I have taken away your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with a change of raiment." Now, keep these things in your mind. Write down this scripture right here also. In Jacob chapter 4 and verse 8, keep this in mind. It says, "Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to grief. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he will lift you up." Notice, he will lift you up. So keep that in mind. We're talking about a lifting up, a raising, a group of people. Remember, when you see Pastor, you see this work, this last day's work that was started. It started in 1934. That last generation started in 1934 with the birth of not just a man, but the birth of a work. Pastor represents a work that was born, a last generation, and these things will take place in this last generation. Keep that in mind. Now, I also want you to write down this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 9. Keep this in your mind. It says, "Go to the Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time." So go to the priests who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time. All right, everyone got that? And then turn over to Micaiah. Micaiah, to the priest who are in office and the judge who is in office at that time. And remember, who is Yahweh to us? Who is Yahweh to us? Of course, it is our great teacher. Who is Yahweh to us? And of course, he has told us we must become Yahweh to him. Now, in Micaiah chapter 4, looking in verse 3, it says, "And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain," of course, the uplifting, this place that is lifted up of Yahweh, "and to the house of the father of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." So we're coming to do something. We're coming to learn. We're coming to learn what to teach so we can teach what we've been taught. So, and keep that in your mind, because in coming to learn, we must remove the sin that is in our lives. We must come and be cleansed. Everything removed from us. Remember, cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's all of us. We all fall into that category. Now it says, "Because the law will depart from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." In verse 3 it says, "And he will judge." Go to the place Yahweh has chosen to establish his name, to the priests who are in office and to the judge. And of course, "Now he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore." Now, This moon in itself, the picture on the moon, like I said, it tells a great story. Due to the time constraints, we're not going to go into what it actually told. We would like for you to take this information, look over it. I know that there's many working on the women's side with us also, working very hard, very diligently. I know there's men still turning things in. Keep in your mind, the time is drawing near. We must become very serious about our jobs. It is life to us. We must lay down our lives for our fellow man. And that doesn't mean go jump in front of a rifle. It means the attitude of servitude, to serve each other. And it starts with us cleansing ourselves, which means we have to go learn of Yahweh's way. Now, with that in mind, I pray to Yahweh that you keep these notes with you, work on them very diligently, and we look forward to bringing you the conclusion of the whole matter. Thank you very much. May Yahweh bless you, and we turn it over to the Great Khan for closing prayer.